kidneys are smarter than any doctor out there.
Okay, Dr. Weber, give us some specifics of the way they use their intelligence to keep us alive and healthy. Each organ of your body is an engineering masterpiece in itself. Even more impressive is the way that those organs are organized into an organism. Let's dissect and inspect another part of the amazing human body here on Truth in the Test Tube. Dr. Charles L. Weber recently retired from Loyola University in suburban Chicago. Shortly before retiring, Dr. Weber spoke with program producer David Fisher.
Kidneys are high up in the abdominal cavity, below the diaphragm, toward our back. And maybe some listeners are familiar with kidney stones, which are very, very painful. And we say the pain of kidney stones is the closest a man will ever get to experiencing the pain of childbirth. But kidneys are an important organ because they regulate the composition and the volume of blood, which circulates in the body. And by the way, it produces a urine. By the way.
Yeah, I know how indispensable they are. My wife was on dialysis for 2.5 years because the kidneys were not doing their jobs.
Yes, the kidneys are a remarkable organ, and I like to teach the medical students that kidneys are smarter than any doctor out there. Kidneys filter the blood, but it's not a passive filter. This is an active filter. You can see by studying the urine, what does the kidney want to keep and what does it want to let go? Urine does not have any glucose in it, no sugar. Doesn't have any proteins. Doesn't have any blood. These are substances that the body wants to retain. The word kidney actually appears in the Old and New Testaments. If you look at the book of Leviticus, you'll find that it talks about the kidneys and it talks about the fat around the kidneys. And in Job, it says, God splits my kidneys open. It's talking about this terrible suffering that Job was under. To me, I take that as he's in extreme suffering, very, very painful.
So you said the kidneys are very smart, smarter than any doctor. Give some specifics of the way they exercise their intelligence.
Think of all the substances which are found in your blood. Red blood cells, white blood cells, large proteins coming from the liver like serum albumin. It has ions, it has sodium and chloride and bicarb and phosphates. It has protons, which gives the acidity to the blood. Remarkable substance. It has glucose, nutrients, amino acids. Now this blood comes to the kidney. All the small things which are in the blood get filtered from the blood into what we call the tubular system of the kidney. The kidney receives only one input, and that would be arterial blood flow, but it has two outputs. It has a return of blood through the venous system, and it produces a urine. So blood comes in, and it can come back either as blood or as urine. There's two outputs. Things which are keepers come back in the blood, and things which are throwawayers, can I use that term, go to the urine.
Discards.
It's kind of unusual because when you filter the blood, only a fifth of the blood coming to the kidney contains glucose. We don't want to lose glucose. So what does the body do? The kidney pulls it back. It says, well, the glucose is out there. Pull it back in. There's amino acids there. Pull them back in. Then it's got some protons there. Well, we're going to secrete protons. We want to get rid of that acid load. The kidney's making these active decisions.
And it makes them differently based on whether you've exercised or done
sure.
Other things, put other components into the blood.
It depends on different where you are in the tubular system. So the kidney tubular system, it has a proximal tubule, it has loops of Henle, it has a distal tubule, it has a collecting duct, all these parts, if you go look in an anatomy book. For example, we live in a day when people abuse drugs. You know what the kidney does the first time it sees a cocaine molecule? The kidney says, I don't know what this is, but it's out of here. It actively secretes it. I call that smart. Isn't that something? How does it know that? It's just fascinating. You know, you challenge the system with an unknown situation, and the body sort of figures it out. When part of the body is hurting, another part can take over. The body backs itself up. What's interesting is that if you donate your kidney to your brother or your sister, you have just lost 50% of your kidney tissue.
Mm-hmm.
Functionally, you only lose 25%.
Why is that?
Because the kidney, which is remaining, gets hyperperfused and actually takes over 25% additional function.
Does it wear out faster as a result?
No, you're good for life. All our organs are overbuilt. We don't need as much lung as we have. We don't need as much kidney as we have. So you can donate a kidney and still be good for life. You can only donate once, though.
So what else should we know about the kidney?
Well, the kidney is an organ for what we call internal cleansing of body fluids. And so the body, when we are alive and metabolizing, we produce metabolites, right? We produce protons, and we produce potassium, and we produce metabolites from cell reactions. And these byproducts of activity need to be removed from the body. So this is like your liquid disposal system. So it's, again, a design system which is found in our buildings, right, in our constructions. And so we have to have a fluid turnover. We have to have cleansing of our water. Think of a water plant. So the kidney is an organ which cleanses and keeps the inside fluids clean.
But it's not a passive filter. It's a very active, intelligent one.
Yes, it's a very active filter, which means it requires oxygen to operate, like all organs do, to be alive and do what it's supposed to do. So the functional unit of the kidney is the nephron. That's the functional unit. So the lung was the alveolus. For the heart, it would be the cardiac myocyte. For the skin, it's that single skin cell. And for the kidney, the nephron is the functional unit. Yeah, the nephron's a tube which is connected to a tuft of capillaries called the glomerular capillaries, which receives a filtered blood coming out of the capillaries. It's like the headwaters of the urine, and it catches it, and then the tubules form a tortuous pathway in the cortex of the kidney, and then they have these long tubes which dive down and come back up from the medullary region, have another tortuous tubes called the distal tubules in the cortical region, and then plummet down all the way to the renal calyces, which catches the urine which is elaborated. And what happens, the urine that's coming out at that level is the very urine which goes down the ureters and is pumped all the way down to the bladder.
What do you mean the urine is elaborated?
Urine is dripping out, so it goes drip, 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 and it's caught. It's come through the whole system, and this is the urine which is not going to be brought back to the body. It's the urine which is going to go all the way down to the bladder, and then we hold it. An interesting point about the bladder. The bladder is got two functions in life. Function one, store urine. Function two, empty the bladder. This makes life very convenient for us because the kidney is always producing urine. About 1 mL is coming out, but the bladder catches it. So we don't have to live in a bathroom.
It's a reservoir.
It's a reservoir. That's exactly right.
How does this tie in with scripture then?
Well, the body needs to be cleansed. The body fluids need to be cleansed. And the idea of cleansing and water being used for purification, that would be like cleansing of the skin and outward cleansing. But the body needs to be cleansed on the inside. You talk about the Pharisees, you know, they clean the outside of the cup and not the inside and things like that. I like to correlate the idea of cleansing. The body wants to produce a clean water coming back to the body, and the dirty water leaving the body is called the urine. The urine that we produce has a little water in it, but it's a very low volume, but it's very concentrated with all the bad stuff that the body is being cleansed. But it also speaks to the fact it's not just one cleansing. We're continually being cleansed. It's a continual need to be cleansed and something to be attended to. Now, we don't think about our kidneys working, right? It just happens as far as we're concerned. So here we have a smart organ. But we know that when we get thirsty, it's an interesting correlation. The more thirsty we get, the darker color our urine is. So the body's saving more and more water. If you drink a lot of water, your urine will almost look like water. You see how smart the kidney is? In other words, it says, if you're dehydrated, you're not bringing water in, I'm not going to produce as much urine. It's still getting rid of waste products, but it's really concentrated.
The thing that the Bible talks about being cleansed from most frequently is sin. Now, is that comparable to toxins in the blood?
Well, I believe that's a good way to look at it, sure. Sin is that which corrupts and something which needs to be taken care of. Sin must be forgiven. None of us are perfect, so we need a continual cleansing day by day. Remember Christ at the Last Supper when he washed the disciples' feet. And Peter said, wash all of me. Christ said, no, you are washed, but I need to just wash your feet. That idea of a daily cleansing. We can't afford not to have our feet washed, as it were. We can't afford to have our kidneys shut down. That's incompatible with life.
What would you say to someone who says, well, what the Bible tells us in some places is basically stop doing the things I enjoy most? How would you answer that?
That reminds me of the whole concept of desire. What do I like? And desires are very, very good. And as C.S. Lewis said, we are too easily satisfied. If I have desires, it could be desires for sexual gratification. It could be desires for food. It could be desires to be the best. But desire is good. Let's not call desire bad. But let's think of it this way. Why do I desire? And who put that in me? And then if I desire, am I desiring the best thing? And if the Bible tells me that this desire is wrong, it doesn't mean that the desire is wrong. It means the object of my desire is wrong. And therefore, I need to ask, what should I really be desiring? So desire is a great thing. And can you imagine having good desires and being sinless? I think this would be a description of heaven, where we're filled with desires which can be fulfilled in a legitimate way. Well, this is our wonderful future. But here and now, when we try to satisfy our desires by what we think is right, if we set the rules, as Proverbs says, there's a way that seems right unto man, but it ends in death. In other words, this desire is going nowhere. So people with a gambling desire or an alcohol desire or a sexual addiction desire, it looks pretty good until you get into it. And then when you get into it, you can't get out of it. And you say, this is a curse. And it is a curse because you're satisfied for too little. Now, God doesn't abandon us there. God says, okay, you've come to the end of yourself. You say, dear God, deliver me from this addiction. And I think that's where we start to see God still loves us.
So as the kidneys know the difference between what's beneficial and what's detrimental, and as they discard the detrimental, that's comparable to the guidance God gives us in His Word, the Bible.
That's a good way to put it, yeah. To be wise in the way Scripture talks to us, don't be wise in your own wisdom, but be wise in the wisdom that God gives. But that requires your humility. But the humility brings freedom. And freedom brings joy, and joy brings hope. And hope gives us purpose in life and makes us want to live.
So there are some good things we can learn from those internal organs, the kidneys, that help us to live a more satisfying life with God's help and guidance.
Amen.
If this is the first program you've heard with Dr. Weber, we encourage you to listen to the ones that he has done previously. You will find titles like A Guided Tour of Your Body, A Breath of Fresh Air, and A Heart is Hard to Beat. To access these and many other programs, simply go to Google and search for Truth in the Test Tube. Once again, go to Google and search for Truth in the Test Tube. And join us again for our next session with Dr. Weber here at Truth in the Test Tube.